as I look into my crystal ball, even though we're already a week and a half into January 2012, let's look into the future, the immediate future, in the next 12 months to see what is going to be cool on the geeky side of things. Yeah, whatever. Welcome to the word, people.
Word.
I don't know what I was doing that.
That was awesome. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was.
I thought that was.
I don't know what the fuck.
That was awesome.
It was like, it was like Bela Lugosi talking about the future and shit.
Bela Lugosi talking about the future.
Blah. This is what's going to happen. I don't know.
So, bringing you the future. Future.
The
future.
Fucking fortune teller from Big is like, that nigga's good.
The fortune teller. That was awesome.
I want to be big.
He's like,
in
all right, nigga.
Pants.
So we're a week and a half into the new year because the truth is, you know, we had shit to do. I had shit to do. Y'all ain't listening to nothing over the new year. Look, we're talking about this year.
That's right. Good. It's all about 2022.
This, yeah, important year, hopefully, for a lot of things.
Is
any
year really more important than any other year?
Yeah, you know, I guess. But, yeah, I just think, you know, this year and stuff that we've been waiting for since 2 years ago. Coming out.
I think every year we've been waiting for stuff from like 20 years ago. But pop culture wise, hell fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we got a list of things that we're looking forward to.
And a couple of predictions for the future. A
couple of predictions
for the year, you know, things you might see that you can't call us stupid for or crazy for asking for, but you know, they might actually happen.
Yeah, so let's get into one. We have a list of some things we're looking forward to.
Kind of the 2012 grab bag.
So we'll go into that. We'll go into some predictions. And then, of course, at the end of the episode, it's another edition of Wordplay.
If you haven't listened to Wordplay yet, this is going to be an excellent, excellent opportunity for you to get in on it. And for everybody that's been listening to them and giving us your good feedback, we got a special one planned for you this time. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's by the way, I just wanted to say thank you, Captain Rhymes, for starting us off. Hey. 2012 is a good new year already.
Yeah, man.
This is Joe the Hater, along with
Roguezilla.
Thank you, sir.
Knocking shit over.
Love Can't it. Help it. And the Captain
Rhymes. If you could see this man's face when he does this shit, you wouldn't be. You'd be like
this. That must be some tasty food.
You'd be like, this nigga's got problems. That's what you. How do y'all do a podcast with him? I don't know. All right, so what's the first item on
the itinerary? All right, so listen, for the past couple years, you know that I, for one, the captain, has been shitting on the G.I. Joe movies and has been shitting on the Transformers movies.
It's a lot of shit, man.
Now, last month, we got to see the first trailer for the second G.I. Joe movie. Now, I'm going to play back. And I'm going to make sounds with my facial expressions, which you can't fucking see, as to how I reacted to this thing. All right. Play.
Blank face.
Eyebrows
raise.
Eyebrows are concerned.
Oh.
Lips and eyebrows open up.
Really?
Looks like he wants to have sex with it.
Oh. He just came.
Didn't need to have sex with it.
That's how it was. It was. That shit looked fucking cool. Mountainside ninja fighting. Fuck you. I'm
and it's crazy because there's still people that have seen the trailer and they're still not believers. I'm like, listen.
Well, honestly, that first movie could have made none of
Yeah.
I'm a believer as far as this trailer being better than the last movie.
Word.
Who knows if it's going to be.
I'm a believer on the writers. I'm a believer
Who's
on.
Who's the writer?
Writers of Zombieland, like everybody's favorite movie of 2009.
But let me say something about Zombieland, too, because I think that I was going to say something similar about the new G.I. Joe based on the trailer. I watched that trailer, and I had a very... This is the Hater, of course, and I really did actually have a really similar experience to Chris. I watched him and was like, holy shit, that actually looks fun as fuck. Like, not good. Like, I didn't
it's
say
fun.
Good.
It's fun.
I said that shit looked fun.
Yeah,
like a G.I. Joe episode.
Fun. Like a G.I. Joe episode.
No, we had fun. Watching the first movie in the theater.
No. We had fun. It's all about, being in the theater. It's all about watching that movie was
It's all
not
about
fun.
The stuff that you have to notice that were in the first movie that weren't in this trailer.
But see, this
they're
is like
sound guns, well, first off.
Sound guns. And you know what? Sound guns are okay.
Dubstep guns.
Dubstep guns is okay. But look, no, about... Seriously, you said you have faith in the writers. Zombieland, when we watched it, was I'll be honest, it was not like the most incredible movie you've ever seen,
but it was straightforward.
It was
a lot
of fun.
Yeah.
It was formula, but a good formula. And this G.I. Joe movie looks like that. Yeah. It looks like
this character to it.
It doesn't look like they're trying to reinvent the wheel. It doesn't look like they're trying to be Batman. It doesn't look like they're trying to make the best G.I. Joe thing ever. It looks like they're trying to make a really smart, really fun movie that a lot of people can actually enjoy, whether they like G.I. Joe or not. And yes, it's a rock device.
This movie so far looks like, I'm like, all right, they took shit from the newer comic books.
Oh, yeah.
They took shit from Renegades. They took shit from Resolute. And I was like, thank you. That's what I wanted with the fucking first one. Yeah. Now, if they could just find a way to kill off Channing Tatum and go, well, he was never really Duke. If they're bringing someone who could really fucking beat
Duke. They probably signed him to multiple
movies. I think he's dead.
Because he's cheap.
Let's hope so.
I think he's dead.
I can't believe this.
You mean in the movie?
Yeah. I can't believe I'm hoping that Duke is dead.
Well, that's not my favorite show.
I watched this rewind trailer of this thing, and it was a guy, it was two guys, and one of the dudes, like, was paid-for-paid G.I. Joe comic nerd. So he was like, yeah, the whole thing with the Ninjas on the Mountain, that's from pages.
Yeah.
Fucking that, he was like...
That's Arashikage. They're going up to the
he
temple.
Was like, they were supposed to kill Duke in G.I. Joe animated movie, but, you know, Optimus Prime dying, fuck kids up.
Man,
because when you kill your leader, if you kill your leader and it's a robot, maybe, it's one thing. But also, if you kill your leader and it's a human, that's a much bigger thing. And G.I. Joe specifically never had any deaths. Transformers never had any deaths, but it had injuries.
And everybody,
significant ones.
And I got people that are, like, reaching, like, you know, well, is Roadblock going to be cooking and rhyming? I'm
no,
like, dude.
Dance.
Hold on. There's nothing wrong with Roadblock cooking and rhyming.
Yeah,
you got problems with it. That's your issue. Not you. I'm saying the people. You know
people
what I'm saying?
Like, fuck you, Joe.
That's Roadblock.
Any of the people now, that some people are reaching. And they're like, well, you can't tell them apart. I can't tell who's who. I'm like, you got to watch the movie for that.
Yeah, it's not going to be all there for you in the fucking
trailer. Be like a modern day trailer and tell you the movie.
Right.
It's not how. First off, this is not even a trailer. This is a teaser.
Yeah, they put a lot in the teaser.
They put a lot in the teaser.
You know what I mean? We don't even know what the story is yet. Yeah.
I will say this. It looks like it actually has a story.
Yes.
And that is like, in and of itself, that's amazing.
All right, listen, even before...
giant body suits?
Right.
None of that shit.
Yeah, Iron Man bullshit. None of that
Why would they
shit.
Pick Sigma 6 out of all the things they could have done for the first movie? That's like the worst G.I. Joe shit possible. Why would you have used that? No, I'm sorry. No, that's actually... It's not the worst thing possible.
Got to get tough.
They could no. I was gonna
Shut
say.
The fuck up.
I was gonna say. Okay. Water guns for your G.I. Joes was the worst thing to happen to G.I. Joe. What was his name?
Eco Warriors and all
Eco
that shit.
Eco Warriors. What, yeah. Cesspool. Warriors. Cesspool. Yeah. Although if they had gotten what's the name? That's the main character from Breaking Bad to be Cesspool. That shit would have been funny as hell. Yeah, because then Cesspool could have been making.
They put Brian Cranston and everything.
No, I'm saying. Well, then Cesspool could have been selling crystal meth.
Brian Cranston as
it's made of crystal meth.
Brian Cranston as Barney. I'm watching it.
Power Thirst is crystal meth in a can. Power Thirst is crystal meth.
Warren, make it to Anaconda.
I love it.
All right, now here's one that's coming up soon this month. Adult Swim.
Dynamite.
Little homage coming at the end of the episode. Dynamite. Oh, y'all jive ass suckers.
Do we have like our actual date?
Not soon enough. 2011.
No. It was 12.
I mean, 2012.
It was
supposed
to be January. I don't know.
Well, it'll
be. It's still this month.
It's the end of the month. Yeah. It'll probably be the end of the month. Yeah. But remember, they're TiVo's only like, it's webisodes. You know, they're not on TV, right?
No, I think this one's. I think that was just
that was
to
pilot.
Get people ready. I think it's going to be on TV.
But is it going to be full length? Is it going to be half an hour? Or? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That'd be interesting. So that first episode was really just like 12 minutes on purpose.
They need something to compete with Archer. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They do.
Black Dynamite kicks everyone's ass.
They do.
Right now, I'll say this. That first animated was awesome, but they are going to have to reach real far if they're going to beat something like Archer on a regular basis. You know what I mean? Now, I think Dynamite can do it because it's got a...
Shit, it kicked the shit out of everything for me.
What, the 12-minute joint?
Yeah.
I'm just saying Archer is ongoing, and that show is fucking smart. So if you're going to make every episode that strong, like Venture Brothers, you know
it's
what I mean?
Smarter
like,
than
you
got
to be like... What's that?
It's smarter than Dingo. Frisky Dingo.
Well, Frisky Dingo wasn't meant to be smart.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I hope your baby's born dead. God, I missed that show.
Welcome to You Are Doom. It was awesome. Go watch. If you like Archer, go watch some Frisky Dingo. Go find it. Seriously, it's the show by the same people from before. It's ridiculous. But for now, if you haven't seen Black Dynamite, you're not smoking the right crack. Go and watch it. And then find yourself a copy of the comic online, and then go watch that 12-minute teaser pilot that they did for the animated
feature.
Good
luck finding that comic online.
Find it anyway. I have pay the money for it. It's worth it. You'll probably reissue it eventually, but it really is worth it.
Flavored crack.
I mean, I'm not even going to spoil it for y'all. Well, not right now. But anyway, Black Dynamite should really... I mean, we need another live action from them anyway, so we really need them to hit some kind of critical mass.
Yeah, man.
And I will also say this.
They need to do some fucking action figures.
Yeah.
I want some Black Dynamite action figures.
But you know that they won't sell to anyone right now. You know this is the truth. Like, everybody that champions Black Dynamite, the truth is, the shit's awesome. But to sell a super strong black main character...
But it's in a comedic form, so that
doesn't matter. It's still really
like
racist.
A chocolate covered pill for
I'm just saying.
Masses,
Dave Chappelle's easier to take than Black Dynamite for a lot of folks.
Well, not now. He's got muscles. That means he's no longer funny.
Good point. He also went crazy, so he's not funny anymore. Can't go full retard.
Oh shit!
I love you, Dave. I love you. But no, seriously, Michael Jai White needs to get some respect. So, I mean, they really did go out there and they made something really worthwhile.
All right, the next one, and I didn't even know this is coming out. Like, this is news to me. But Batman Earth 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yo, explain that to me.
Well, let me drop a little bit of science on this real quick, and then you know, we can drop our own opinions. Originally, the Earth 1 line is a line. A lot of people didn't know that. DC essentially planned on doing... I mean, for a long time, DC has been kind of sort of trying to figure out what... how they could do the equivalent to an ultimate line, which is Marvel's alternate universe retelling of their classic characters. So DC really wanted to have an iconic line that did all their main characters without any continuity, but that could potentially start a new continuity that would be accessible to new readership, wouldn't hinge itself on all the old continuity, and would be visually representative of something they could use for film, for animation, blah, blah, blah. So the Earth One line was originally was the All-Star line, which did have books. Earth One line is the same exact thing. Retellings as a universe, standalone graphic novels or miniseries, easily accessible, top quality writers and artists. What they did was we saw All-Star Superman. If you haven't read All-Star Superman by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, easily one of the best Superman books ever made. Possibly the best Superman book ever made, definitely incredibly accessible, used all the continuity, but you didn't need to know any of it to appreciate it, which was really, and also
definitely the top three Superman stories of all time.
Really incredible. And they're going to eventually come back and do another volume. But what happened with the All-Star Superman was, I think it was literally so strong and took so much time to make that they didn't have anybody else that they could dedicate to doing that. Grant Morrison can do a bunch of books at the same time. Not that many creators can do that. So how do you get top quality people doing a book when you also need to sell your monthly titles in your regular continuity? So it took them a long time. They got All-Star Batman out. And I think All-Star Batman I think it broke the back of the All-Star line because Jim Lee is drawing
poop face.
Frank Miller's
Batman baned himself.
Right? He baned himself because for real, they did that book. And as soon as All-Star Batman came out, there was no more All-Star line. No All-Star Wonder Woman by Straczynski, which was supposed to be a long time ago.
It was funny as shit. A customer in the store. And wow. Like the summertime, came in looking for like the last two single issues.
Of All-Star Batman.
Of All-Star fucking Batman.
Which, yeah.
Okay. And it's like three of us. We got who it was. And we
didn't laugh at them, did we?
We laughed at him. We didn't laugh at him. We just trashed the book that he wanted in front of his face.
And you know what?
Because he thought it was good. And we were like...
No offense, Mike. I really wish you hadn't told that story because that makes us look so
angry
bad.
Dad.
But I will be honest.
Bad. We try to help him, man.
We could sell him 15 other Batman books that are about, you know, as much better as Batman books as you could possibly make. Now, that said, this is also, for y'all that don't know, this is a book that was notoriously so lewd that it had an issue that came out and missed the censorship somehow. So all the curses that were in it that, for whatever reason, Frank Miller decided or editorial decided to actually put black boxes over the words, which they don't do that in comics anymore. They just take the fucking words out.
Yeah.
Or they just cross them out so that you can't see them at all. But no, they chose to put black boxes over the words, which means that the words were printed and then boxes were printed on top of them. What a waste of time. Even more to the point, this book came out with the black boxes missing in one print run. They had to rescind all of the, they had to make everybody send them all back because they were black, but you mean this shit, fuck, cunt, you know, all this stuff. It's like, wait a minute, it's Batman and Robin, well, dude. Like,
it was Batman and Bronson.
It was crazy misogynistic talking crazy, shit on Black Canary. And,
if you're a crazy guy that lives in a fucking box, that draws comics and hates women, you would probably write Batman with the beard beating Robin up every day too.
I think that,
just saying. You've got to feel for Frank Miller. Sometimes.
I really do feel badly for the dude. He's
the man really thinks he's the spirit. He's, remember during the movie campaign run?
He's still using that photo. He's still using it now.
I'm gonna wear a hat.
After everybody hates the spirit. But anyway, you know what? We can knock Frank Miller all day long. The trick about the All-Star line is that it kind of fell apart beneath its own weight, which is usually what happens with relaunches of universes anyway. The Ultimate line did the same thing. They had to revamp that, and Marvel's just come back to the Ultimate line now. And the reason is that after you have a certain amount of time of a new continuity, it's not new anymore. So with the All-Star line, they only got a few books in. All-Star Superman is amazing. Just read it as a standalone book. It is hands down, like, seriously Watchmen level. Like, just amazing, amazing book, right? And now, with the Earth One line, they're doing it again, but they're doing it in a new format. These are standalone graphic novels. Each character, super iconic, no continuity. They did all Superman Earth One. J. Mike Straczynski, creator of Babylon 5, wrote that one, drawn by Shane Davis. Excellent book. Everybody thought it was going to be a bad book. It was phenomenal. We all said this is what they need to do for a movie. And they're probably not doing a movie based on it, but they are doing a sequel to Superman Earth 1. Oh, they're going to do it second volume.
Really?
That's coming out.
Earth 1 2?
Earth 1 Volume 2. Yeah. I think they've said it should come out the end of this year, 2012. It may actually release on this calendar year or not. But in between, they said we are still going with the rest of the Earth 1 line because the bookstore market and the tablet market loves a graphic novel that was always a graphic novel. Right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to sell Batman Year One is coming now. That's Jeff Johns writing? I believe it's Jeff. Jeff Johns and
Earth One, you mean?
Earth One, excuse me.
It's Jeff Johns and
it's not Dylan. It's not Steve Dylan. It's it's not Derek Roberts.
I know Johns definitely on it.
Yeah, no, the artist is he drew Superman too.
I'm looking at
edit,
right,
and then we're gonna actually
now
just say who it is because I can't. Gary. Oh shit.
Daniels.
No.
Anyway, it's somebody.
He's awesome. Anyway, so it's gonna be really good. And
there's like a few standalone shots of like certain characters because she got announced like.
Yeah, they have announced this like officially for a long time, and then what was it like a week ago?
Yeah, they gave us like the suit. No, like a month ago. They gave us like the suit.
Right.
And I showed what Alfred's going to look like. And he looks fucking badass.
Right.
He looks like Deathstroke.
He kind of does. Yeah.
He has an eye patch and everything. It's crazy.
So
Gary Frank, excuse me.
Jeff Johns and Gary Frank.
See, I said, I knew it. I knew it.
Gary
Frank's awesome.
The art looks dope. The costume is nice.
Gary Frank's a really, really good illustrator. He's super clean.
Yeah, his images.
That's what we were talking about. You're not even listening to us.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Ignorant bastard.
I was looking up shit.
Yeah, Bruce looks nice. And,
we knew what we were talking about.
The shot it is just Bruce's head down in the neck, and it's next to him.
That looks pretty dope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the captain in real time.
And look at the outfit. Like
I'm looking.
It looks like it was actually pieced together by a human being.
Now this is also really smart if you think about it, because you got to remember that 2012 is easily the year of Batman. Even though Batman
every year is a year of that motherfucker.
Hold on. When's Superman new movie getting released?
2013.
So that's next year. Right? This year is Batman's year. 2012 is going to have the new animated series. Uh-huh. It's going to have... Don't be mad yet. Don't be mad yet.
What?
The new Batman animated series. Don't be mad yet. I'm just saying it's the year of Batman. Arkham City came out. Run shit. Right? Now we get three new Batman titles in the new 52. Two of which run shit. Okay? Now we've got, again, you've got, and they're about to do a, I wanted to talk about that too. This is a great segue into that. They've just announced a Batman crossover event that's going to go between all the books.
I'm going to fucking throw this trash can.
On top of that, you have Batman Dark Knight 3, movie, which is going to run shit. Right?
I'm looking at the picture of Alfred.
Not the movie. Chris Nolan. Dark Knight Rises.
I'm looking at a picture of Alfred from Earth One. Yeah. This dude looks hard to the core, man.
He's like, I will fucking shoot you and then watch my dogs.
My man's leaning on a cane. He's like, I'm going to beat you to death with my cane.
I got a pipe in my hand. I got a tat on my fucking
nose. I can kill you with this pipe.
When I first saw it, I thought of Wayne Bruce from Beyond, and I was just like, fuck.
That's a good one.
It can be that. Like, I'm going to shoot your arms off and have my dogs eat your feet.
That's sick. Yeah, I mean, no offense. This is not a Michael Caine Alfred. No, this is
I love Michael Caine.
Man has
he's brilliant, but it's a different character.
He's wearing an A-shirt with dress pants. Fight Club.
That's right.
Fight Club. Right.
But yeah, I mean, this is Batman's year. Again, because, you know, for whatever reason, everything they do with Superman, they still can't solidify him in the ongoing books as being as important, or, excuse me, as accessible to people. People don't care. No matter what individual thing they do that's awesome, Batman remains the character that everybody cares about.
Because he's human.
There you go.
He's a human fucking being.
So likely they'll be
the best fucking dude out there.
I'm predicting. I'm going to throw a prediction in here, too. I'm going to throw a prediction in here for you, too. The new Batman with Scott Snyder comic has a slightly updated design. I am predicting that you're going to see skins for Arkham City this year from both Dark Knight Rises and from the new Batman ongoing comic.
They just gave away.
I'm just saying you're going to get skins for the character. You know?
They just gave away Grant Morrison's Batman Egg One for free
like
2 weeks ago.
There you go. I'm predicting that they're going to do more storyline connectivity DLC stuff for Arkham City that comes from the other stories, because they want to draw people that are playing the game and reading a book and vice versa.
Give me a Batwing skin. Turkey rat.
I mean, or Bane. Movie Bane, and, you know, in as a mission in the game, stuff like that is going to be.
Well, there's all these rumors.
Well, let's seg into. Oh, you were going to say, bro? Go ahead.
Well, there's rumors that this DLC of you playing as Robin, because Robin was in Gotham while you were in Arkham, so that's just a rumor, though.
Oh, here's another thing that I was just mentioning. The Batman Wade crossover, this is something else that just got announced, and this is really worth mentioning. Batman comic crossover that they've just announced. All of the Bat Universe titles will be having a Court of Owls crossover event that ties them all together.
Oh.
It'll be coming, I believe. Oh God, I want to say it starts in February.
So, like, Mirror from Batgirl, is part of the Court of Owls or some shit like that.
No, they haven't. Well, they haven't specified how the story's going to work. But I will say this:
Talon runs shit.
I will say this: Talon's
that dude's a
okay.
Problem.
This is what they basically said. They've said. Batman and Detective, actually all three of them, Batman, Detective, and Dark Knight are doing really well, like phenomenally well.
Yeah,
right?
They are.
Most of the other
Batman and Robin apparently is not.
Batman and Robin is needs a pick-me-up.
Needs a pick-me-up. Are they still doing stupid Damian shit?
Less of a little asshole.
Hold on, Incorporated's coming back. So you gotta remember, Batman and Robin and all the rest of the Bat titles, they're not doing well. Everything in New 52 is doing great. But the ones that are standout successes, like the main three Batman book, numbers-wise, even the crappy ones are doing
great. Man, you mean like Woman?
Batwoman, Batgirl.
Batman.
Detective. Dark Knight.
Batwing.
Batwing. Red Hood.
Red Hood. Oh, he's going to be part
Nightwing.
Of that too?
Nightwing.
Does Birds of Prey count?
They haven't announced that yet. But I mean, they haven't said. They said all Bat Universe titles.
I don't know why.
But that's
Hunter's already had her fucking
right
run.
There, right?
Had her fucking run. Why not put her?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, you can always change up.
I just want to see Batwoman doing something else with other
people. Yeah,
that's what I want to see. That's the person I'm worried about.
I actually like that they didn't connect her yet, because I feel that Batwing could have been stronger.
And I want to see her like save Batman. Just waiting for it.
That'll happen. Anyway, the point about the crossover event is that if you haven't been reading the Batman stuff, I'm not going to spoil it, but basically you've introduced a really nice new backstory reaching all the way back to the Foundation's Gotham.
Alan
Wayne, the founder of Bruce's grandfather, and all this other shit that really has to do with the Illuminati, the secret Illuminati that Batman thought he knew all about and knows absolutely jack shit about. It's a giant retcon, but it comes as part of the New 52, and it's a great storyline. A lot of the Batman storyline so far is set up that it can go in any direction it wants to, as far as it wants to go, because it's been around since the early 1800s. So they can go as far as they want to go. Now they're actually going to do it. They're going to tie every book together with one storyline, and they're also going to do an ongoing Court of Owls backup feature. Because
take my money.
You're talking about taking your money. Check this out. This is unfortunate.
About to blow your mind, motherfucker.
The holding the line at 299 is about to be a wrap. And not all, but I think 4 out of the 5 highest selling titles in the new 52 are going to 399, including Batman. So the backup feature is going to be justified. It's going to be an 8 or 10 page to make it a full 40 pages, but it's really there to justify the increased price and to tie together the books, because the backup feature goes back and forth between Batman and Detective. No, I mean a backup feature that is in either book, not both, to get people to read both books. So there's a lot of marketing going on here, and it also comes at the heels of, this is another comic segue, of the VPs and CEOs of DC talking about, yes, look, we always knew that we'd have to revisit this 52 line. They have finally said publicly, 52 as a number for the books that we're putting out is not a hard line. That was simply our sales pitch. We can change that number at any given time for ongoing books. We're trying not to because people like it, but we're not going to sell substandard books, which means at issue 5, roughly, we will be figuring out what books need to get canned and what book new stories need to come in.
Grifter, Hawk and Dove.
No matter what people think about a lot of these titles, until they get below numbers for books from last spring,
right,
you're not going to see cancellations. Mm-hmm. And here's the reason why. DC's comfortable with less than Marvel is right now. They want the successes that they have in 200,000 plus orderings, but they also are content with books not doing incredibly terrible. Mm-hmm. And I think we are going to see this summer a whole new line, maybe a Shazam book, maybe, you know.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I mean, any number of different
stuff. Smiles on my face.
Right? I mean, there's going to be a bunch of stuff. But Batman is definitely going to run shit.
Captain Marvel. Right,
real quick, since we're talking about Batman.
Talk about the Dark Knight Rises. You sound like the Red Letter That's Media, awesome. Dude.
Or oh, did shit. I sound like him? I didn't mean to. I'm trying to sound like Ben.
It's funny. I'm like, yo, man.
Tom Hardy's the man.
Fuck yeah.
He's been a man since 2001, but I was looking at people like, you know, regular people like, hey, have you seen the Dark Knight trailer? No, man. I want to wait. I know it's going to be good. I know I'm going to see it for a time. I'm like, that's
okay.
I'm cool. Like, cool. That's me. That shit was banging. Let me tell you all about it. So
I'm
going to
spoil this
exploded,
shit,
right?
Well, it didn't actually explode. It kind of fell in.
It fell in.
Some fly shit. Look, man. Yeah. Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. Money.
I'm smiling, viewers.
Money shot.
That whole fucking trailer was just money shot to money shot.
It was
drenched. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Was that disgusting?
And Nola got Kasluda Kyle all crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah.
I'm digging it.
He didn't even put her in that teaser.
Yeah,
she's wearing a masquerade. It's just two women in the trailer. See?
Oh, no, I know. No, so I'm saying fast. They didn't put anything in there that was, like, significant.
Mm-hmm. Right,
it's
right.
A Bane opener. You know
yeah.
I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
not. He's specifically getting everyone to focus on Bane so that nobody focuses on Catwoman or Talia al Ghul.
It's obvious, yo.
It is. But it's great because nobody's paying attention.
Like
everybody's thinking
really
about Bane.
Thinks,
I'm like, dude.
Like, people are like, Bane's going to steal it. I'm like,
blunt.
Oh, you think Bane's going
to
steal it?
Yo, they're cool. About to be blind.
Bane's the henchman.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you.
We'll see.
No.
He's a world-class villain. But he's going to be the secondary villain. She's going to be the mover and shaker.
Yes.
She doesn't have to punch and kick to be in charge.
Yes.
You know? And they got to give the two female characters a real reason to go, you know, catfight toe-to-toe. Because Batman's not going to knock Talia out.
I mean, it was sort of already spoiled.
So there you go. What's that?
The whole 8-year-old girl thing. It was the 8-year-old girl that was supposedly asked
oh,
to
yes,
play
yes, yes.
a young Talia al Ghul.
Yes. Yes.
But she had to shave
real
her
life.
Head.
Yeah.
Real life. Had
An
to
actress.
Shave her head.
Little girl that was
girl
going
actress.
To play her.
Okay.
Yeah.
But her mom didn't want her to because she would get teased in school.
Listen, now
listen
we have
oh,
no, we,
my,
the Ryan's just looked
Chris,
like he died and
a
came
Chris,
back to life.
Not only is this a movie.
Seriously.
Fuck you.
No, it's
like,
not
only
even a joke.
This is a Hollywood
We've
movie.
Already been over
this.
This
is
we went
Nolan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You want to be rich till you're 50?
Right.
Be in this movie.
Right. I mean, that's like somebody's
child is going to grow up to resent her mother, and when she turns 18, she's going to chop her in the neck. Watch. You're going to hear it on the news.
And
you heard it here first.
I will say that when we heard about it, we were like, get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't turn that down.
Yeah. And it was like
somebody handing you a lottery ticket and be
like,
look,
go ahead.
It's all filled out. It already won tonight.
A friend of the mom's that told their friend told was like, fuck this shit. You're dumb. I'm telling people.
Oh, I'm putting it out there in the world.
Yeah, get
oh,
down, man.
That's rough.
And recent
ever.
Shit.
You can imagine them not being friends anymore.
And Hathaway fucking spoiled some shit. she pretty much like gave us the real like synopsis of like Bane. But I'm not gonna like spill all that. But the one thing
I'll tell me after we
no, do it.
No. It's like I'm trying to remember actually. It's Stoner. Something like
Stoner.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Only
dude.
Thing I do remember is that she does give away that she breaks into
Wayne Manor.
Of course.
Okay.
Not just Wayne Manor.
The Batcave.
New Batcave. Yeah. Right, of course.
With that southern wing, it's all CG and green screened out.
Can I say something, by the way? The minute that I saw the bat plane hover, the fucking bat, the tank bat thing. God,
that thing,
the bat that, F-O? Shit was
that thing was ripped out of a Ridley Scott movie.
Okay, anybody that wants to talk shit, by the way, Prometheus looks amazing. Oh, talking about Ridley Scott, but anybody that wants to complain about the fucking bat tank or any of the new design aesthetic from the new movies, let me tell you something. You can complain all day long about how it is not from the comic. I'm not mad at you, but if you tell me it ain't fly, you're fucking crazy.
What okay? I think is,
I mean,
fly,
no,
is
I think
Bane's
you're
vehicle.
Just the oh, what vehicle?
Oh, the trailer, that giant ass fucking truck that hits three tumblers. That's his station. That's his main car. That's his car he drives around.
Oh, by the way, who in the government is going to have tumblers with what look like cannon mounts on top?
I think sick. We don't. The thing is, that scene is so confusing.
I know.
We don't know if it's Bane's people.
Right, exactly. You don't know
it's
who it is.
Darkseid.
But no, but look, if Bane's mobile operation truck thing is running him down, then it's probably like, I'm thinking private military.
The one scene I want to see.
I'm thinking like,
no, but I think
no,
the
because
one thing
look, that, Batman's been gone for 10 years.
Seven.
Right.
Eight, so I'm eight, thinking. Eight, I'm eight. Thinking, Gotham has some kind of Blackwater type dudes.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah,
got
yeah, yeah,
some
yeah.
bat tech. Or that Wayne supported
yeah.
exactly
yeah, yeah.
like a private military.
Could be, and I'm yeah. all about that. The one thing that I'm bitching, I guess I'm bitching about, because I bitch about other people's bitching. That's my thing. But
that's confusing.
But everyone, you know, not to even knock Nolan at all, but everyone, you know, the first two movies that came out, everyone sucking on this dude's dick. Like, blah, blah, blah,
but this one, they're holding their
tongue. Yeah, everyone, they're like,
maybe.
I can't understand Bane. I'm like, I can understand him just fine. And we all watched the bootleg version. I don't care. The bootleg version
right.
of that 6-minute thing that
we
came out.
I heard him
play
it through a cell phone.
Thank you.
Fine.
Thank you.
The reason why you can't hear.
Because you're not listening.
No. The reason why you can't really hear him in that scene is because the way that Hans Zimmer scores shit is,
mm-hmm.
There's a quiet down effect
right.
to it.
Right.
That's just how it's just the fucking yeah. music overlapping
I got
with the
everything
trailer.
That motherfucker
you
was saying.
You can totally
I'm fine.
Tell that scene that they're in has no music in it at all.
Right, uh-huh. exactly.
Because Batman's in his costume unmasked.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and even at the end of the 7-minute stuff, they show different shit, and one of them is Bane holding half
right.
of Batman's mask. Like,
right.
he just ripped it off his fucking face.
Right.
I'm going to find out who you are by ripping your fucking mask off.
Right.
Yeah. Like it's
amazing that we
Nolan,
get so much
if
to talk
like,
about
gonna,
out of this, you know, out of a fucking.
If people
six
are like, he's gonna change it. Like he's not gonna change it. Nolan is not gonna dumb his movie down.
No,
anybody.
He doesn't have to.
No,
more importantly than anything else, he doesn't have to.
This is the direct director that
Chris
makes,
Nolan
that
just
makes
showed
you,
you
think.
Why the
we all saw Memento.
Are whiny assholes.
Yeah, we all saw Memento.
Wait a minute. He would actually say that on set, so be careful.
Yeah.
He would lose it and be like, what the fuck do you know about a movie, huh?
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Have you ever made a movie?
Because,
you know, I wouldn't call you a filmmaker. What? So you developed the fucking role of film that makes you a filmmaker?
Shut the
took
fuck
some,
up, you cunt!
Took some holiday Polaroids, huh?
But my shit is like, do you really think the man that made us watch Memento 5 times is going to dumb his fucking movie down?
Oh, by the way, prediction?
Pain.
Tom Hardy, somebody releases a tape of Tom Hardy going completely apeshit on set, just
like,
the way that Nolan did.
And me and
I mean,
Chris
the way they
like, that's just stock
that's
footage
just
from Johnson.
He just built it back
to cuts.
I mean, he's bald with a mustache.
Yeah.
He headbutted somebody, their nose exploded. He's in character.
He just went
okay.
and crazy and started belly to back suplexing
okay.
everyone. Chris Dyer told me.
That wasn't a real
he's
prediction.
He's like
by the
Ray
way.
Fiennes. He's in his fucking mojo, okay? He's Daniel Day Bronson.
Oh, Daniel Day Lewis.
Potter is dead.
Speaking of Daniel Day Lewis.
Thank
oh,
you.
He's coming out
thank
this
you.
Year.
No,
you
was,
Lincoln?
Thank you. I think it is this year.
Daniel Day Lewis is playing Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
I heard it's frightening.
Yeah, they've only released a couple of like leaked shots of him like eating dinner on set in costume when he wasn't supposed to be taking pictures.
Oh, no.
But it looks like Abe Lincoln eating.
Well, he's a method actor, like, so he stays.
Oh yeah, I know.
Because I know what Sean Bean or Milk, he was terrifying. Like, I'm Milk, honey.
Was he like 4 score and 7 milkshakes ago?
You said when what?
When Sean Penn was on set of Milk.
Milk was awesome. Thank you.
Great movie. Yeah, great. You should watch the documentary if you ever see that.
Great. Excellent. What's next on the itinerary, Captain?
Okay, let's see. Going through the Rolodex. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles hardcovers and continuing volumes of those. You cannot fucking wait.
Two more, right?
So far, but I think there's more than 3 volumes worth.
Probably left those tails in there.
Probably eventually, yeah. Yeah. They've offered 3 hardcovers. This is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles recollections. The original 80s stuff. Yeah, the original comics. Yep. In order, about 7 or 8 volumes per hardcover. They're not cheap, but they're absolutely worth the money. If you ever wanted to, or are already a Turtles fan, you thought you were a Turtles fan, these things are beautiful. If you know somebody that's a Turtles fan, I mean, buy at least volume 1. It makes a great gift. They have, like, incredible amounts of liner notes about, like, the creation of... I think the first issue has, like, 3 pages of commentary by the two of them, like, director's commentary about the issue. And then every issue after that has at least a full page of commentary. So, like, directly after the issue, not even at the end of the book. So it's obvious that they really wanted to, you know, get you to understand how they came to make this thing and where they thought they made missteps or, why issue 1. They give you the full history. It's really interesting, man. If you're a Turtles fan, you know a Turtles fan, go look for it. IDW is the publisher.
I wonder if they wanted to put the comic and movie form in there.
Oh, you mean the adaptation?
Yeah, no, like I have.
You mean the movie adaptation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting. That would be really
interesting. Like, when I got the Blu-ray, it was like a little small version of that, so that was pretty dope.
That is interesting. I don't know, because so far, there's a lot of Turtles issues. Like, I was just looking through my collection of issues at home. I had, like, 30-somethings, and it was still Eastman and Laird doing it. So yeah. I was thinking, like, wow, if they really did collect the entire thing in this format, they probably have a lot of volumes to put out. But I don't know how much they can expect people to buy. And nostalgia fans probably only want so much of the original.
It's like a
stuff.
$50, $60 book, so.
Yeah, they're 50. Yeah, they're $49.99.
So, you know.
But they are beautiful.
Yeah, I can't wait for that shit. But, video game.
Buy it at your local comic shop. Support them. Tell them to order it. Don't get it online because the chances are the person that's selling it to you online.
I'm going to charge you $20 more.
I mean, no, they'll charge you less. But they want your, you know, they don't need your money the way that your local comic shop does.
Okay. Next one, another DC animated movie that comes out, animated feature that comes out next month.
We've been waiting for this for a while.
I've been waiting for every fucking thing.
Yeah, but we've been waiting for this. Like, I remember they announced this before year one.
Yeah.
And then they changed the release schedule.
Yep.
Batman Year One, the animated adaptation.
It's called Tower
of
Babel.
Right. Did they announce Tower of Babel? Because there were 2 Batmans. Well, Tower of Babel's a Justice League story.
Right.
But it's one where Batman runs shit.
Now, yeah. I got a question.
Again.
Now they've changed the name, right?
It's Doom.
Doom.
Now it's Doom.
It's a crossover.
2 stories.
Fucking Victor Von Doom comes in.
I don't know.
Because I know it's Tower of Babel.
Tower of Babel was the original name, and it was originally
the
entire story.
Was the Legion of Doom involved with Tower of Babel?
No, I think this is the same thing that we had with Earth 2. I think, remember with Earth 2, it was Earth...
The Crisis on...
Infinite Earth. I mean, Crisis on 2 Earths was the animated feature. They didn't combine. They simply made... the Grant Morrison graphic novel was Earth 2. Where the Justice League goes to the parallel
Power
Earth,
Ring, and
right where everything good is evil and vice versa. Now this is a concept from the 60s. He brought it back and redid it and made it really, really awesome. When they did the animated feature, which is still like 10 years after the graphic novel came out, they were essentially trying to make a graphic novel that was only 80-90 pages into, you know, not a feature-length movie, but they wanted to make it bigger. They wanted to make it like Justice League Unlimited, where it felt like a full universe, not a small, self-contained Justice League story. And I think that's what they're doing with Tower of Babel. I think they're taking Tower of Babel as a concept and turning the villains in it into an entire Legion of Doom storyline. Mm-hmm. I think it may have echoes of the one that Alex Ross painted over, which was just called Justice.
Yeah, Justice.
which felt a lot like Tower of Babel, except it didn't have the same meat and potatoes in it. That was more like a, you know, like a Justice League world spanning.
Because yo, I tell you homage. One thing I want in this thing, like if they're gonna do the whole Legion of Doom thing, of course.
Yeah.
I want a narrator. Meanwhile, that yo, at the Hall of Justice,
call Ted
fucking
Knight up.
Boss.
Just, please call Ted Knight.
That would be
pump his chest or some shit.
Boss.
Call him.
Meanwhile, but in like, my pants.
Because on the year one special edition of the Blu-ray, they you know, they're like the fucking sneak peek of, and they got one for Doom, and it's like everyone from the show.
Yeah. And I think
except for Phil Lamar, because it's Hal Jordan,
right?
Nathan Fillion.
Phil Lamar did a great job, but I'm not mad at them.
Well, who's playing Cyborg? Because they know Cyborg's in the show.
Could be him.
I forgot who's playing him, but I know. When I saw it, I was like, wait, I've seen this. What is the name of this story? Because I remember it coming out here, and the cover was like Batman standing up, where everybody's just laying down.
Yeah.
Because everybody's dead.
Oh, Batman's Tower of Babel.
Yeah, Tower of Babel.
Yeah, the graphic novel.
And then, you know, they say, and I'm like,
still
oh,
in
shit.
Print, by the way. It was a regular, it was a storyline from a regular monthly series from of Justice League. It wasn't like a standalone graphic novel. It sold as a graphic novel. This is also Grant Morrison when he was writing Justice League back in the early 2000s, late 90s. Go grab it. You can get it at any local comic shop. It's really crazy. Easy. It's a totally awesome story.
And when I saw that Vandal Savage is running the fucking music to do, I'm like, yo.
And that's the only reason it makes sense. And this is what I was going to talk about. In Tower of Babel,
vacation time.
The base story is that Batman has this orbiting satellite that has all of the weaknesses of the Justice League, kind of like, and tools for taking each member out should they ever get too
and
powerful.
And Morrison wrote this shit, right? This motherfucker is crazy.
He's nuts.
He is crazy.
Yo, hold up. Grant Morrison. Random info. Grant Morrison has a fucking comic convention dedicated to him about to happen this year for the first time. One guy. Let's just get. He didn't make it. This is essentially. I was like, wait until you just go find the info. It's called MorrisonCon. I'm not making this up.
It's called like Grantomania or something like that.
But it's not. You know, he didn't do it. So I just.
Why did you survive?
Oh, I want to go and bring back a Morrison Cotton t-shirt and be like, look at that guy. First ever, bro.
They gave me an accent, too.
It should say, I went to the lousy Morrison Cotton and all I got was my mind blown.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know what happened.
All right, next one. And I know we're all waiting for this because the first series was so goddamn incredible. Legend of Korra. The new Airbender
man
series.
Yeah, don't call it Avatar only because even though that's the original title of the show, everybody's gonna think of that movie. Well, actually, if you call it Airbender, they'll just think of the other bad movies. Really a shame. But man, that animated series we talk about all the time. Yeah, one of the best
that
of all
fucking,
time.
That opening credits or whatever that came out. That, you know, that
oh, for Legend
saw.
Of Korra.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
Holy shit! Like steampunk-ish.
Steampunkish.
Style. I'm fucking there, man.
You want to talk about
Aang statue?
Yeah. You want to talk about like logical history happening?
It's Aang.
Stop that. Stop that. Hopefully they never give that man another movie. But anyway.
Ever.
Yeah.
Again.
But seriously, I'm talking about M. Night. I'm sorry, dude. Really suck.
He just walked by.
It's okay. he wasn't paying attention to me, so it's really all right.
It's a twist.
You got a set of comic books?
Yeah. Like Unbreakable?
Stop.
What they twist?
Oh shit. I thought I took it too far. So yeah, Legend of Korra is the sequel. What is it? 100 years later?
Yep.
And the great part about Avatar, of course, was it reimagined all essentially an entire world, Earth, populated only by Asian people. I'm sure lots of Asian people saw that as awesome. But it just only had, you know, Asian nations on it. It wasn't like they didn't put black people or white people in. It just
not
weren't
the
there.
The coolest part about Legend of Korra.
Right, but I think the coolest part is that, A, it's everything about the original series of Avatar, which I think was one of the best cartoons I've ever seen, has stepped up. The production value has stepped up.
Oh, my God.
And that's already a feat because the original production value was really incredibly good for a non-animated series.
Like one of the first, it was like breaking in there when you're like, this is the first time you're doing HD animation shows.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think they really did a good job on giving us three chapters and Make it get full HD and make it look really, really nice.
The original series, man, 60 episodes. Think about that. Like 20 episodes a season. Yeah. Never one filler episode that didn't have like a purpose, you know? They wrote the living hell out of that show. So there's a lot of reasons for us to be excited about this and one. And it's a female lead, too.
Named Mako. Did you hear about that shit?
Really?
There's a Fire Clan member named Mako.
Okay, so for anybody that doesn't know, in the original series, one of the best characters was General Iroh. And Iroh was voiced by Mako, the actor who's done so much voice acting.
Watch
stuff.
Conan.
Yeah, there you go. Just look him up. Mako. Dude was amazing. Really prolific in tons of shit. But Avatar was the last thing he worked on, and they did an homage episode where he doesn't die, but his son dies, and it was the last one voiced by him in the series. Also, the last thing he recorded before he died. Mm-hmm. Now to have them give an actual character named after him is. Fantastic, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, go look for the trailer for Legend of Korra. Aren't they doing a go-between one-shot or something movie
bridges
the two shows?
I know that there's something like with Appa.
The Flying Bison.
More of them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like something that's like Aang found his race. Found them.
Oh, no. There were no more airbenders, but at
not
the end of the...
airbenders. I mean, like...
Oh, you mean the Flying Bisons.
The Flying Bisons, yeah. Oh,
that's so cool. Well, the Flying Bisons were like the spirit animals of the wind tribe.
She's riding some polar bear horse thing.
Flying Bison.
Polar bear horse thing. No, I know what you're talking about. Nah.
Just fucking thinking of Flying Bisons. It just made me think the way you said bison. When you think about going up that river... I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass so hard that he makes Bison wannabe. It's going to be it.
Except Bison still has the best line in that entire movie. But for me, it was Tuesday.
Everybody had that movie. You could be like, I picked
it. For you, it was the most important day of your life.
Of course.
But for me.
All right, so these next few, I think we just blow through them real quick, so we can wrap this up because it's getting about
kinda
that time.
Hectic.
In the
you know that thing there, son.
All right, so we've all been talking about this for the past year, the fucking Avengers movie. Can't fucking wait. Blah,
smart,
blah, blah.
What they're doing right now.
Yes. Which one?
Avengers.
What smart what?
We don't know what the fuck's going on in this movie.
They really have not revealed a goddamn thing. I mean, it's obvious
that Loki is part of it, but you know,
it's also obvious.
He is the real villain.
Is it
Thanos?
We've
been looking through these previews. We've been seeing silhouettes of figures next to people we know that's going to be in the movie and their figure.
Yeah,
but not like Spider-Man. They didn't get that shit away. Right. Lizard on the box.
How's it going, everybody?
like I'm like, and. My friend...
Well, Spider-Man, they need reasons for people to go see it.
My friend's dad works with movies for a living. He does sound. And he was on the set, and he told him that he thinks it may be Thanos.
Well,
now...
Remember, Infinity Gauntlet was in the trophy room in Thor. In the Asgardian trophy room, which means not only are the Asgardians cosmic, so they're aliens, but they've dealt with it before.
And... I'm trying to figure out
when
Red Skull going to fall back down.
You got Red Skull, you got Loki, you've got Red Skull and Loki. You've got the Hulk. You got the scientist that you know worked on the Hulk project.
Just
that's possessed by
the,
Loki right now. I mean, you got all this shit going.
The latest image of the Avengers is Hulk by himself.
Right.
So you can just look at him.
They got to remind people that the Hulk is one of the main characters in this.
Everybody
movie.
Thinks it's Ruffalo's face. It's not. It's the face from Incredible. Just relax. It's not Mark Ruffalo's face on the Hulk.
I thought the CG
they tried that with Banner, and he was the Gerber baby, and it did not work.
You have to just make the Hulk.
You just gotta make the Hulk, dude. And it's they may have slightly shortened Incredible's hair. You know, the Hulk's, I mean, if you're getting, you know, I always thought his hair should be way longer. I mean, you're growing. I mean, I don't know. It depends on who's drawing.
Visually,
it
gets
visually,
to be a problem.
It gets to be a
then
problem.
He automatically has like
but
a
people
giant mullet.
Like notice when he's transforming, they still like gray streaks.
Whatever, who cares?
Whatever.
Look, I'll tell you this much. Nobody knows exactly what's going on in that movie except the people that are on set, but it doesn't really matter is the thing that's interesting to me.
I think for a Marvel movie, it's very under wraps, and I think it's smart.
I think the best thing about them keeping it low-key is this. 2011 was Marvel's year. If they're not careful about what they do, just Batman alone will steal the whole fucking show back.
Star of Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man's a wrap. Like, no matter how good it is, nobody will care. compared to the other movies that it has to go up against. So I think that Marvel,
the movies they brought out in the past,
considering the only movie that Marvel is really putting out themselves is Avengers, I think that they really, 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 really have to be careful to keep Avengers neck and neck with Batman, because it no way does it get the same sales. It's just not possible. It's not possible. Not, I mean, it's not. I don't see it as. I will go out there and be like, Batman could easily double Avengers numbers, and I'm giving Avengers good numbers, but I just don't see there being any way that. But
I mean, Avengers wait for all our lives, but Batman is still.
But Batman's already proven itself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And that's the truth.
That's what's kind of like, it's just weird. Right. Like,
if the same director had done Iron Man and Thor and Cap and Avengers, then you'd be like, yeah, Avengers gonna walk away with it. But you don't know that, and even with Joss Whedon on it, you mm-hmm. can't really be sure of these things. We all want it to be, and we all are going to go see it, preview weeks beforehand. But still, you got to hope and pray. You got to cross your fingers. I think it's going to be a damn fun movie, even if it isn't the best thing since sliced bread. You know?
I know what the two games are going to take the year.
Oh, what's that?
Mass Effect 3 and Bioshock.
Oh, yeah.
Bioshock's going to shit on Mass Effect.
Wait, what did you just say?
It's going to shit on Mass. Sorry. It is what it is.
Bioshock Infinite.
Apologize now. Yeah. I will.
It's going to take you up on this recording.
It's possible. I mean,
we'll see. Well, for Mass Effect fans, it won't. But
I'm just jacking and changing.
I'll say this.
I think they're going to be the two. They're going to be in the category for game of the fucking year, though. Like it's kind of.
I don't know what else is coming out past those two. And really, I don't care what comes out past Mass Effect.
Mass Effect hasn't made a misstep though, and Bioshock technically lost a few people. Yeah.
I'm just fucking with Chris.
I still think it'll be incredibly up
out of this year. I mean, this is going to be a fun year for games. Yeah. I mean, 2012 was really fucking good.
Anybody that is looking forward to Prometheus, by the way, by Ridley Scott, which is the prequel to Alien, first Alien movie.
I'm not
watching
that trailer either. I'm going to wait.
Yeah, you're missing out. That trailer might be. I'm going to go out there and say that Prometheus might be one of the most beautiful trailers I have seen.
You got to think about Alien for its time, 1979. The people that are in that movie.
Yes. Brooke just stood up to say this.
Yeah, he's
like, you gotta understand, like,
nigga got my soapbox.
Not,
got my
not
soapbox
only
on
still working.
Yeah,
they were in that movie, but got made from that movie.
Oh, absolutely.
And you knew them before that movie because they did start. They had good agents,
right?
And they were in good movies,
right?
Like it's just strange because you look at Prometheus and you got a pretty solid cast. I mean, people. May have made some choices in the past, which has made the medicine
Charlie Stern.
But we know they can act.
Yeah, they're good.
We've seen them act before.
Yeah.
Idris Elba, Charlie Stern, Michael Fassbender, who next to Hardy can't be stopped right now. Like that man's on a fucking fast track to being awesome and wearing suits all the time and being cool. You got Michelle Rodriguez, who I love, who needs to pick up a sandwich because I liked it when she was thicker.
I hope she does.
The reason why she's in these movies is because she's the best cannon fodder out there right now.
I think it's because she's the only closest loose quotations to what's her name?
Vasquez?
Yeah.
Nah,
I really do.
Think these dudes are soldiers.
No, they can't be. Yeah. They can't be. They're scientists.
Oh yeah. These guys are for exploration.
Oh, they're gonna get their asses in.
And I can't wait. Like,
I mean, they all have to die or be taken by the company.
And like I said, I watched Alien on Blu-ray. Looks like it came out last year. It's fucking crazy.
This is something else people should remember: is Alien when it came out was revolutionary in a lot of different ways.
1979.
I mean, but I mean, really, if you look at the movie, it stands up incredibly well. You put it next to other movies of the year, and it'll really it'll fuck with your head. But the other thing that's weird about it is Ridley Scott has never in his career gotten over the insult that he and many other Brits, along with a lot of filmmaking people in general, feel was done to him. By the sequel, which, even though both movies are mega iconic sci-fi and film for their own reasons, a lot of people, and I think they both stand on their they stand on their own merit, exactly,
they're different movies.
But a lot of people feel like he was,
it's
done a disservice because exactly,
different
totally
movies.
Different movies.
And
right?
As a matter of fact, comparing Alien to Terminator and T2, the Aliens,
really good,
Aliens, it's two horror movies.
Yeah.
to chase.
Yep.
Fucking action adventure horror movie.
But it's also important to remember that a lot of people saw Jim Cameron at the time as this mega upstart who had no reason to be in the position of making the movie that he was in after Ridley Scott, a decorated filmmaker, mm-hmm. had made Alien and gone out on a limb established a franchise with one movie. And then you have Jim Cameron coming in. Everybody just saw him as hanging on Galen Hurd's, you know, coattails. Now, I know that he's an incredible filmmaker, even though he's made shit recently that I can't respect, but whatever. But I think that this is...
Ridley's the same fucking way.
I was about to say, I think this is a huge point for Ridley Scott to reclaim his filmmaking ability to the wider public.
Fucking Robin Hood.
A lot of people forget about, you know, the fact that he did Gladiator and that... Other than Gladiator, he hasn't had a lot of like mega successes in that way.
Because you
recently
he does this fucking thing now that all the directors do, and they pick their fucking people, and they want to be in their fucking films forever. Nobody cares about Russell Crowe anymore. It's over.
Russell Crowe's.
Leave Jor-El alone.
Yeah. Really?
He's Jor-El.
Really? Yeah. And then
yes.
Oh okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Take that, motherfucker.
Yeah, but
even
like,
God has to get sexier.
Yeah, like it's like Scorsese and fucking DiCaprio, like
But you know, you can't be mad at them because they're also finding films for those actors. But regardless, Prometheus looks amazing.
It looks
if anybody is
to see that shit movie was weird.
Seriously. Yeah, that was weird. Anybody that knows about Prometheus or is an Aliens fan, also do yourself a service. This year is Alien Colonial Marine. Ironically, video game direct sequel to Aliens by James Cameron. Written by the studio specifically to be and licensed actually by mm-hmm. Fox as a sequel. So it is a direct sequel. So not only do you have a prequel to Alien, you have a sequel to Aliens, both in the same year. Should be good for alien people.
Nobody dying in landings. Be great.
What you got?
All right, so we got a couple honorable mentions because we didn't get a chance to really get to them. And a couple of these, I know I'm only interested in, and I won't be the only one really talking about it. But John Carter of Mars. I can't fucking wait for that.
I can't wait for that either, dude.
I've been waiting for that to come out since high school.
And that comes out your Mass Effect month, my man.
Yes, man.
I do want to go out there on a limb and say for you, Chris, if John Carter winds up being as awesome as it looks like, I'll go farther than that. If John Carter comes off as good as it...
There's nothing farther than
Star Wars. Hold on. No, I'm just saying. Because John Carter's a sci-fi... But it's... Hold on. It's a sci-fi movie. But let's remember, John Carter is essentially a fantasy, sword and swashbuckling, sword and sorcery movie in space. If it works
pretty much Star Wars.
It's even more so. It's got the jock straps and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's fantasy. Mm-hmm, if they make it work on film, there's no excuse for Conan to have not been done the same level of respect.
Don't even get me started.
Now, I'm not saying Conan was bad.
Well,
I'm saying
but there's nothing
John
for
Carter looks
why are we talking about Conan?
Amazing. And I simply want people to think, just transpose that same shit.
Yeah.
Sexy ass chick, sword, aliens with four
arms.
JC
is going to be the first big movie of this year.
Yeah, it is pretty ironic that they're doing that JCM thing.
Like,
straight up Jesus Christ on Mars.
And, you know, I think it's going to be a sleeper hit like how Star Trek is.
I will predict that conservatives will go apeshit on the fact that it's called JC.
It's called John Carter.
Watch it. Just watch him. Yeah. I'll bet you.
Fuck him. Two things one thing I'm looking for and one that I'm hoping happens. Fuck the both of you in advance, but Star Wars 3D, all the Star Wars movies are coming back. Shut the fuck up, bro. All the Star Wars movies are coming back out in 3D. For me to be like seeing them all over again, I can't fucking wait. And then what I want this year is to happen is for Star Wars The Old Republic to be on the goddamn Xbox. That's all I want.
I wanted that shit since announcement. What is that shit since their fucking announcement? I see no X there. Not interested. Sorry.
Can't do it. Sorry.
I've been watching lots and lots of hours, by the way, of Old Republic on PC.
Yeah, it looks fucking beautiful. I really
buddy of mine's playing it at like really high levels and just keeps playing. And I've sat and watched lots of it. You can't do that game on consoles.
I know. That's why it was.
It's not. It's not happening.
It was wishful thinking, man.
Oh no! I wish for your sake that it happened. I would like to stop hearing you talk about it.
Maybe dumb it down a little bit. I don't know.
Just give me a KOTOR 3.
I'm not a massive. I am not a MMORPG player. Not at all. And I can't play it on the thing. It's like people, like last week a customer was not really so much giving me shit, because I would kick the fuck out, but was giving me shit about you know, like, oh, you can't play the PC, da 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 da. It's almost the same argument like we have, where I, like, for fighting games, I play on a controller.
We grew up in the arcade. I mean,
yeah, and I grew up on it too. It's just that I find the controller more comfortable for me.
Right. I think you're nuts, but I understand that to each his own. Okay. No, I feel you.
No, I mean, it's not cold. What it is.
Well, no, I mean, to each his own. You know what I mean? I know that. I totally agree. It is the same conversation. Yeah. PC people tell me all the time the control level that you can get on a keyboard is infinitely superior. And I'm going to go out there and tell you.
Not when you're fucking stoned and playing in the dark and trying to fucking hit the right keys. I'm like,
let's just
crap. What's happening?
Let's just leave
I
it.
I don't know.
Let's leave it.
And then I run into something.
Let's leave it at this. The keyboard is infinitely more precise control.
I would imagine so.
But if you've grown up playing with a certain thing or played the majority of your games using any device, is going to be really difficult to use another one. I mean, it just is. Like, keyboard is completely different than sticks. Yeah. And the arcade stick is for fighting games is completely different than a controller.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get really used to it, it takes a lot to break that.
And it's a segue into the two games that are coming out this year, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of which hopefully won't come out this year?
Wait. No, they're both coming out this year.
Oh. Yeah.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken comes out in March, and
Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
Holiday, it's like, of fucking 2012.
It's the fucking tail end of 2012.
It's like, hey, it'll be at our route this time next year from this trailer. Go fuck yourself.
If it makes it on time.
Namco Bandai.
Namco Bandai. Fucking Soul Calibur 5 comes out in 4 days. Different. Not 4 days, not like the end of the month, like the 31st of January.
And it'll have all the jiggle.
And they got announced like 3 days ago. It's awesome.
Let's see. The other thing for ring nerds, the Hobbit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I want to see.
I'm
can't
more
wait.
Looking forward to that than I was the actual Lord of the Rings thing. I'm more.
Smog's the boss.
You know.
Smog.
Now I'm. Sorry, I'm not.
If they do with, that, with, they can do that one song. There's a whip. No wait, that wasn't Lord of the Rings. I forget I said anything. Go ahead.
I'm not all up to it's been a while since I've watched the animations.
Oh man.
But
That's that shit. Action shit.
Was Sauron a part of them?
Shit. Was he? I think he was barely mentioned in
Well, in the trailer, written down there by the last person they say is Sauron. Okay.
The ring. Okay, it's. I don't want to spoil it for people who didn't read the books. The story from The Hobbit is straight up the prequel to The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah.
No. But what I mean is, it's the prequel in a huge way. Plot of Hobbit is not world spanning. Save the Earth.
Yeah.
On its surface, on the undertones, it is absolutely. Shit's about to get real. We need to get everybody ready to deal with what's going to happen. So here's the sub-adventure. You know what I mean? It's the zero issue. Yeah, it's about saving the world. Yeah, Sauron, whatever. But the way you get there is not by way of giant, massive evil. It's by way of much smaller moments that seem huge until you see Lord of the Rings, and then it's like 10,000 people die. You know what I mean? But the first time, but for real, like the first time you see the dragon in The Hobbit, even in the animated, it's a big deal. Like, it's a problem. Like everybody that knows each other is like, let's band together and make an army. Because shit is deep. You know what I mean? Like, so what I will say is, it's not, don't worry about the plot elements. Just understand that it is straight up Lord of the Rings, but, you know, 50 years beforehand. So all these characters need to develop a little bit.
So Homeboy turns into 7'8" man with giant sword and hands.
Oh my god. What the fuck are you talking about?
The boy Sauron! He's Eye-Man!
Boy Sauron.
See?
That boy Sauron. You know what? On that note.
That's my line!
That's my line! On that note.
That's my line!
On that note.
We're about to get into some heavy shit.
Enter
a righteous nigga walking through the harsh ass streets of the city.
It's like my mama used to tell me, Black Dynamite, this world is a cold and dirty place where only the strong survive. Lucky for me, I came as strong as they come. The man's world will give the average motherfucker 1,000,001 good reasons to give up, and most do. But I ain't exactly your average motherfucker.
Louise Jefferson Help Center and Free Clinic.
You didn't even know that shit. Okay, okay, pause, okay.
All right, and that same righteous nigga walks into the Louise Jefferson Help Center and Free Clinic.
Now dig, in my world, sometimes you get used to seeing shocking shit. That the other shit that's shocking anymore is your inability to be shocked by shit anymore. And that's when you see some shit that makes you realize the shit you thought was shocking wasn't even shit at all.
Two black men, our righteous nigga and a doctor with some glasses, stare over a whipped black man laying on a gurney.
Alex Haley, I came as quick as you called.
When I interviewed this man, I was convinced he was suffering from slavus paranoias. The delusion...
The delusional disorder where the individual believes that he is a slave to another human being?
Exactly. But the physical markings and the details of his story.
Brother, what happened to you?
Not just me, man. Thousands like me. Master told us there's no escape and we had to go to hell if I said try to. But I knew that was devil was lying. I've heard. Because we was ready in hell.
And there's also this. A shackle on the black man, the injured black man's ankle that reads, Property of N. Hicks. If found, please return 17 miles off the East Coast. This is no delusion, Black Dynamite. This is some diabolical shit. You're the only man that can get to the bottom of it.
I'm on it, Alex Haley.
Black power. Our same righteous nigga all suited up with all the gadgets and guns and knives you could ever want stands on the banks, on the shore, rather, of the ocean, preparing for some real shit.
I've been on too many missions to count. Some official, some not so official. This ain't the first mystery I've had to solve. Hell, it ain't even the second. But this is different. Because there's just something about that word slavery that really pisses me off.
Our righteous nigga goes across, Black Dynamite, goes across the ocean waters on his little raft with a motor and gets attacked by a shark. That's right, I said a shark. The shark bites him in the leg and Black Dynamite, pissed off as hell, punches the fucking shark in the face. It's a wrap, man. Dynamite kills the shark with its own fucking fin. I can't say that with straight face. He rips the shark's fin off and kills the shark with its own fin. Saying while he does it,
he wasn't the first great white motherfucker I had to take out with my bare hands. Hell, he wasn't even the second.
And that's the end of the scene. Black Dynamite, injured, wounded by the shark, wakes up on a beach, gets knocked out by some long-haired, white, hick-looking dude with a rifle, and when he awakes, he sees a terrifying visage. Slave Island.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, my name is Noah Hicks, but my friend Benson here calls me Master.
Good one, Mr. Noah.
Of course I am kidding. I am here to welcome you all to Slave Island.
In this image, we have an entire line of people getting off of what looks like a ship from the late 1800s, offloading a lot of white people to this beautiful paradise known as Slave Island.
Now, I aim here to take you back to a simpler time when the world made sense, you hear? When tradition was appreciated and when there was a place for everybody.
and everybody knew their place. It is also our aim to provide a 5-star vacation experience with enough amenities to impress even the most discriminating travelers. And yes, I'm afraid the pun was intended. But enough of my jibber-jabber excessive verbiage has always been my weakness that embezzles mid-juleps, which are truly amazing. And now, it is my pleasure to welcome you to Slave Island, your authentic plantation vacation.
So it's an island resort with slaves on it called Slave Island. I got to burn this motherfucker down.
As our hero, our righteous black dynamite, stands shackled behind cages, watching this terrifying scene as all of these vacationers come onto the island, his reverie is interrupted by an announcement.
We got a runner!
As one of the slaves tries to escape, a beautiful and shapely woman wearing shackles and some tattered clothes.
Fear not, folks. We are prepared for every eventually on the plantation you've got to be.
Oh, this slave woman running away actually makes quick work of a guard or two and...
our witches are spirited and fast. But not faster than our horses.
And the horsemen ride up and throw a net around the escaped slave. Oohs and ahs fill the crowd of onlookers that have just gotten off of the boat. Black Dynamite stares on with enraged eyes.
Fuck up, son. This is your proud southern heritage. Own it.
And of course, the little boy he's talking to is one of the onlookers who has come with his family to see the sights of the Slave Island. A short time later, Black Dynamite is thrown in with the other slave prisoners. And let's just say some of these people have taken him for granted. As he notices his countrymen in bondage, he tries to get them a little round up there. Get them ready.
Brothers, I am here to deliver you from bondage and burn this motherfucker down. Now, can you dig it?
Yeah, we dig you. We dig you. I'm actually looking to get your black ass whipped.
Everybody know there ain't no escape from Slave Island.
Ain't nobody delivering nobody from bondage.
You must be out of your goddamn mind.
Looks like I'm going to have to do this whole slave revolt by my damn self.
Black Dynamite is in for a rough time as he tries to motivate the slaves that don't think that they're ever going to get loose. Being washed with buckets by other slaves and scrubbed down by random-ass folks with some suds, he comes upon the... shapely woman that tried to make her escape just recently.
So you... I'm right here. Mm-hmm. So you must be uppity buck everybody have been carrying on about. Old master got these Negroes' minds even more enslaved than their bodies. But I know the promised land is out there, and I'll get there someday.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear a word you were saying. I was distracted by your sons.
And your husky-ass voice.
Say, mama, what's your name?
I don't know my real name. These turtle soup-eating rat bastards stole my whole damn ancestry from me. But you can call me Betty.
I can dig it, mama. I saw what you tried to do before. That was real brave. Tonight, one way or another, I'm burning this motherfucker down. Because the opposite of this, it's the way it's supposed to be.
How about we meet at Master's house at midnight? I'll bring the matches.
Notice how the voice changed. That's what happens when Black Dynamite talks to a lady. Hey. You know what I'm saying? Panties drop, clothes change, colors and shit. All right. So after the slaves talk to each other and commiserated about how terrible their lives are, we come into an even more terrifying scene than simply Slave Island. Well, let's just say it looks like a ball for now, with a lot of white people dressed very well and talking to each other about, mundane things.
Virginia, getting the timeshare here was the best idea you ever had.
Well, if there's any more exciting thing, good old-fashioned waltz dancing, I don't care to know about it. And now the reason we are here tonight, our biannual charity auction to benefit the Ladies Auxiliary of the KKK. They do such fine work.
First up, this prime specimen, Betty, the most spirited Jezebel in our stable. Do I see 100? Give me one, two, give me two, 300, four, five, $500. Once, twice, sold. And now, a special treat for all you ladies tonight. It's been a long time on this island since we've seen a genuine, prime, uncut male mandingo. Do I see one? Give me one! 250!
500!
$1,000!
1,500!
One blank check written to cash!
And we're not gonna be that. Sold to the Widow O'Donohue! Entering the bedroom quarters just moments later after the auction are the Madame O'Donohue changing behind a screen and the uncut prime mailman Dingo, our hero, our righteous nigga Black Dynamite.
You know, you expensive, but what's life worth living if you don't treat yourself every once in a while, am I right? Oh, that's much more comfortable. They say that a mandingo possesses the erotic power 300 regular men.
That sounds about right.
Now, you know, you're not the first black man I've been with.
That may be, but I gotta warn you, mama. Once you go Black Dynamite, you never go back to just plain black.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
Oh, and don't forget about next week. When we read more from the scriptures of Black Dynamite in quadrophonic sinoscope.
Alright, that. Part two of the sensational first issue and only issue of Black Dynamite, Slave Island, coming to you on the next episode of the Word Podcast.
Can I get a word from everybody?
Word!